Welcome to episode 29 of Bite-Sized Blessings. This episode comes with two trigger warnings. There is the discussion of suicide, as well as the discussion of child abuse. If you know someone, or you yourself are suffering with thoughts of suicide, please reach out and call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. And if you suspect a child is being abused, or think you have witnessed abuse, please call the Child Help National Child Abuse Hotline at 1-800-422-4453. My guest today, Vet Green, has not let these experiences define her. She has her own podcast, Think and Grow with Vet Green. You can find it on Anchor and other platforms. Take a listen, and I think you'll understand why I wanted her as a guest today. And now, episode 29 of Bite-Sized Blessings.
I don't know if you've ever heard of Harlequin, those romance novels. That was my reading. So that's... My mom would get her Harlequin books, and when she was done reading them, I would read them. So here I am, 8 years old, reading Harlequin. That's probably why I'm a hopeless romantic. I am a light out of the darkness. I know that about myself. I've always felt different. I've always felt like my life and why I was here, it was bigger than even I had known. And for a great deal of my life, I did not let that light shine. I actually tried to dim it, and I allowed others to dim it. So if I were to sum myself up, I would say that I'm a light. I was my entire existence can't be anything other than a light. Can't be anything other than that. I did not grow up in a per se religious household. My mom and stepfather, they went to church. They actually went to separate churches. They went to separate churches. He was a lot older than my mom, but they didn't force us to go to church. So it was, you know, if we wanted to go to church, which we sometimes did, more so because it was a place where you can congregate with your friends and meet up there, Sunday school, and mostly that. I didn't actually get into being spiritual until much later. So growing up for me, it was not very strict. I grew up with mom and a stepdad until I was 15. That's when they separated. We had a children's Bible, but it was more... I love to read. So we were in a department store called Hills, and I was like, oh, can we get that? Because I had ran out of things to read. So my mom ended up buying that book, and I read some stories in there. But again, it wasn't religious at all. It was just, I guess, just a normal upbringing, just full of hurt, you know, the hurt that they've experienced, and then that's been passed down. But
it sounds like when you were a kid, maybe books were a little bit religious for you, like you love to read.
I love to read. I would pick up the Bible itself and read it because I had my mom read. I don't know if you've ever heard of Harlequin, those romance novels. That was my reading. So that's... My mom would get her Harlequin books, and when she was done reading them, I would read them. So here I am, 8 years old, reading Harlequin. That's probably why I'm a hopeless romantic. And then I went to the Bible.
For me as a kid, just books were a way to escape, you know, my life and what was going on. Because my parents started getting divorced when I was in fourth grade. You know, even after the divorce, it was not, their relationship was not great. And so really books became this way for me to just kind of leave the world. and live in another world. It was such a relief to just get a book and be able to divorce myself from whatever was going on out there. Mm-hmm. Did you have that same feeling?
Was it the same thing? I was picked on a lot. I was always the heavier kid growing up. Not to mention there was colorism in my family. I'm actually one of the darker ones in my family. So I never felt like I belonged. On top of that, I had this bubbly personality, but the people around me, you know, my friends, I didn't realize that they were going through a lot of the things that I wasn't going through at the time at home. So that's what caused, you know, them to have their issues and hurt people hurt. And that's what happened with me a lot. Got picked on, was molested by my biological father. So I was always a shy kid. I guess I never felt confident, and that a lot of times that's what happens with sexual abuse. I was never that popular kid. Let's say that I was never that popular kid. So because of that, I started becoming withdrawn, and books were like an escape for me. I was that kid that loved going to the library, and I would pick the maximum amount. If there were 10 books, I'm coming home with 10 books because that was my life. Yeah, it was a fantasy world that when I stepped outside, I wasn't caught, you know, fat. When I went to family functions, I wasn't the black sheep or the darkest one. Or my sister, she was much smaller than I was, and she was the pretty one. And my family or people that we were around, they didn't hesitate to make sure that she knew she was the pretty one. And then they would look at me, oh, the chunky one over there. And they would literally tell my sister, oh, you're going to be a heartbreaker when you grow up. And then look over at me and not say anything. That hurts, and that kills a child's self-esteem who's already battling with self-esteem issues because the world around her is telling her that she's not good enough, that she's not pretty enough, that she's too dark, that she's has 40 extra pounds on her. I grew up in a very low income. I grew up in the projects, very low income. My mom and stepfather didn't have a lot of money. My stepfather was already retired. He was 30 years older than my mom. So our income, we were in poverty. So we didn't have all the latest fashions. And that matters in certain areas when you don't look as if you aren't poor, because that's what it is. You don't, if you can be poor, just don't look poor. If you look poor and you're poor, you're going to get picked on. What got me here to Chicago was I was feeling myself going back down into that sunken place where I didn't want to be here anymore. This was 2018. And at that time, I had already tried to commit suicide 3 times. And each time, you know, I was woken back up. The last time I had actually ended up in the hospital again, and I woke up in the hospital. And that was the end of 2016. And I told myself that some things have to change. And I said I wanted to be done with, you know, the heartache that I was going through with my ex-husband. So I ended up getting with this guy who, he breathed life back into me that I needed, because I had lost any ounce of self-esteem that I had for myself. I had lost. And he helped me remember that I can be loved. And because of that, I still love him to this day. We're actually good friends. But what I didn't realize is how broken he was as well. So once I started realizing that what attracted us the most was our brokenness, our stories were so similar. And if it was to be, one of us had to figure it out, get healed. I didn't know that healing was a part of the process. I just knew that I needed a change. And I was working for my sister at the time. I was in such a low place that my daughter, she was in the Air Force. She was in Japan at the time. She had to call back home to the States and pretty much beg my sister to give me a job because I was just in such a place where I had lost hope. I had lost hope for myself. I didn't think that I could accomplish anything. I had applied for Social Security. I was ready to become, you know, start getting a $700 check every month for disability. That's where my mind was. I didn't think I can do better than that. Fast forward, things didn't work out. So I said, let me try something different. I started applying for jobs outside of New York because I knew I needed to get away and fast because I was headed back down that same road that I was on with my ex-husband, and I didn't want that. I wanted something different. I started applying for jobs, and each of these jobs that I was applying for, the places that I was getting the interviews for was for Michigan, the state of Michigan. So I thought that's where I was going, to Michigan. I had 3 job interviews. All of them were promising. I had 3 interviews for the same position. They were planning to fly me out to Michigan for this job. And then it stopped. Nothing happened. They stopped answering my emails. I'm like, what's going on? I 3 interviews. Usually when you have multiple interviews, you have the position. So I'm calling. I had family in Michigan. I'm calling. Say I'm coming to Michigan. You know, would I be able to, you know, figure it out on your couch for a little while? I have this job opportunity. It never panned out. I was getting so frustrated, and that spirit of depression started trying to overcome me again. And I recall standing in my mom's doorway with tears running down my eyes, telling her, you know, they aren't calling. So I went out on her porch because I'm an outside person, just to feel that sun. And I started applying for jobs all around the country. And I applied for the job in Chicago. When I applied for the job in Chicago, I followed up with them about a week later, and I had to revamp my resume to say that I was living in Chicago. To make a long story short, I got the job. It's the job that I'm in currently right now. I happened to be standing outside one day because, again, I'm an outside person. I love the nature. And I looked down, and lo and behold, what's right in front of me is a sign that said Michigan. That's where the sign was telling me that, you're going to be on Michigan. I said Michigan. I didn't say in Michigan. I said Michigan. You know how the rejection, the pain of rejection that I had experienced I had to find out. I work on Michigan. That's what it was telling me.
This has been episode 29 of Bite-Sized Blessings, the podcast all about the magic and spirit that surrounds us, if only we open our eyes to it. And whether you choose to listen to our bite-sized offerings for that 5 to 10 minutes of freedom in your day, or the longer interviews, we're grateful you're here. I'd like to thank my guest today, Vette Green, for sharing her story today, as well as the creators of the music used. Agnes Volmagia, Chilled Music, Music L Files, EDK20, Dream Heaven, Lilo Sound, and Kevin McLeod. For complete attribution, please see the Bite-Sized Blessings website at bitesizedblessings.com. On the website, you'll find links to other people, changemakers, playlists, and music I think will lift and inspire you. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Vette. Do the deep work of healing yourself first so you can bring your light to the world.